I want to talk a little bit about emotions. And I don't always feel very emotional on Easter Sunday. You might, but the thought came to me of the real meaning of this day. Oh, we've known it. I'm not saying it's just all of a sudden been revealed to me. I'm not saying that. I'm saying all of a sudden I saw it was the very pivotal event of the whole Bible. That if this day had not been what it was and had failed, we wouldn't even be here. And we wouldn't be singing about his birth. It just would have canceled everything. But this day is the pivotal day and the pivotal event and the pivotal point. And so we're just going to call this message the Resurrection Sunday, because that's what it is. I mean, there's nothing wrong without calling it Easter, and the whole world is calling it Easter this morning, but for you and me, it's Resurrection Sunday. I'm thinking of how that it is the, and it's almost was sung in the songs that were the special songs, but we're going to call it the climatic ending. There's no need for another sacrifice. God had a plan all down through the Old Testament, and it was sufficient for then, but it had to be done every year. And then he gave. I'm wanting to bring our thoughts a little bit about to the disciples and what they felt in the few days prior to this day. They were directly affected with the events of those days. Have you ever really thought about what their expectations were and how they were affected by walking daily with Jesus and learning from him, and he opened to their understanding through the Spirit. He said, "Who do you say that men say that I am?" And they answered that, and then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And they said, "Thou art the Son of God." And he said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it unto you." I am so thankful this morning for the divine revelations. He's still revealing things to us. He's enlightening us. We're not walking in darkness. We're walking in light. But again, I'm thinking of how that in all of the things that they expected. And if you and I had been one of the disciples, we would have probably felt exactly as they did. We would have been looking for an earthly kingdom. They didn't have it fully revealed to their understanding that his was a spiritual kingdom. So I would say that some of the emotions that they felt, I would say they were very strong emotions, don't you think? And they were disappointed. Don't you think they were disappointed to a degree? And I'm thinking of the temptations that they had as after the Last Supper, and Jesus took them into the garden. Did he have emotions? Jesus had emotions. He went through an emotional feeling that you and I will never experience to that degree. He was asking for the cup to be removed. And he literally, the scripture says that sweat was, that's adrenaline. He felt the events that were before him before he actually went through them, because he had to consecrate to them. But it said that it was as though it were great drops of blood. There are some among biblical scholars that actually say it was. I don't know. But I know that Jesus had an emotion, and he wanted someone to stand by him and to pray with him. And in their humanity, they could not. They were tired, and they fell asleep. But he gained the victory. And had he not been able to have had that time of crying unto his Father for help to go through it, maybe he would have failed. But he did not fail. And he awakened his disciples, and one of their emotion when they saw that what was going to happen, they wanted to take up arms, didn't they? Didn't Peter even take a sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant? Oh, and the emotion that maybe they all saw, maybe even the soldiers, when Jesus reached down and took a hold of the ear and put it back on. And he was made whole instantly. Why could that not have changed their feelings? Yes. But it did not. And then when you think of the way he was betrayed, and betrayed with a kiss, what a way to betray a friend. Don't you know there was a hurt? Yes. A feeling, a wounded feeling. How would you feel if you were betrayed by a friend with a kiss? Would you cry? I think we would shed tears. So there were a number of emotions. There were fears. They all fled, and he had no one to stand with him. And he went to face what he had to face alone. Excuse me, I didn't know I would be emotional. I'll need some Kleenex. Thank you. I think what we need to feel is gratitude that Jesus did it for all of mankind, but he did it for us. So as the evening unfolded that night, they felt grief, and they felt tears, and they felt remorse. And all of that's recorded. You just have to sort of read in between the lines and get the feel of what they might have felt. So now I'm going to go back to the table of the Last Supper and how that Jesus tried to prepare them. And he spoke to all of them. And he said, "Verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me." And that created an emotion. Matthew 26 and 22, and it says, they were exceeding sorrowful. And they began, every one of them, to say, "Lord, is it, am I the one?" Jesus told them that they would be offended because of him that night. And Peter and I'm going to say emphatically, said, though all men shall be offended, yet will I never be offended. He had good intentions. They did love their Lord. They really loved him. They may not have understood everything at that time, but that's one thing they did know. And then, of course, Jesus responded to Peter and told him, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And yet Peter said, now this is the scripture, he said, and all of the disciples said it too, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Oh, they had good intentions. So the strong emotions that they felt were then, after the fact, they were inflamed with disappointment because they thought that he could escape. In reality, there's an indication that Judas thought it. He thought he could betray him. He thought he could turn him over to the authorities, and that he was, because he was the Son of God, because he was God in the flesh, Judas probably thought he could escape. He was just a little greedy for money, it seems, but down underneath, he had an emotion, because when he realized that Jesus was not going to escape, he wasn't going to deny what was in his cup, when he saw that, what did he do? He went back and he cast all of the money at their feet and said, take it back, I've betrayed innocent blood. And they said, no, you've done it. If only Judas could have waited a little while, he would have had the hope of eternal life. Yes. But he didn't have hope. Do you feel sorry for Judas in a way? Where is he today? We can imagine. So, now I'm going to change to this morning. And, I just enjoyed the song so much because it was saying a lot of what is in the scripture. And I wrote it down like this. I said, oh, what a change in all of the human feelings on this day. And when the women came to the sepulcher on the third morning about sunrise, the scripture says, and found the stone rolled away and the tomb empty, except for the angel who said, why seek ye the living among the dead? You know, that's in one of the Gospels written like that. They each one are justified in the way that they said it, but I loved that way. Why are ye looking for the living among the dead? Don't you know they had an emotion? I can hardly put myself there and wonder at the shock, because they really weren't expecting him to be alive. And I had to stop and think about our own experiences with losing someone that we loved. What if a couple of 3 days after our loved one has passed and we find that they're still alive? What kind of an emotion would we have? Well, that's what these women felt. Is that kind of an emotion? Put yourself in that place and think of the joy that you would feel, that empty place would not be empty anymore, but it would be full. their presence, that one that you've lost, would be sitting at your table again. That's what they felt. So they, angel told them to go and tell his disciples and Peter. Isn't that precious? Jesus was thinking of Peter after he had made such strong statements. I will never forsake you. I will never betray you. But you're going to deny me. And the scripture says he went out and wept bitterly. Don't you know Jesus knew that? And he knew that Peter needed to be comforted. So he said, you go tell the disciples, and you especially tell Peter that he is risen. So the women, it says, this scripture says, the women departed quickly with fear and trembling with amazement. That's scripture. That's an emotion. And great joy. And they did run to bring his disciples word. And when they told the disciples, it seemed like an idle tale. But Peter ran to the sepulcher and looked in, and he saw the linen clothes, and the tomb was empty. Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful morning? After all of the darkness of the night, and after all of the grief and the witnessing him being beat and scorned and the crown of thorns and literally losing his life's blood even before he went to the cross. And don't ever forget, there was a purpose in those stripes that were laid on his back. Yes. And it means something to us today. And don't forget that Jesus paid the price for the healing of your body at the same time he paid the price for the salvation of your soul. It's all in there together. You can't separate it. We don't want to discount the fact that he suffered for our physical body too. That's why we trust in what the word of the Lord says. The promises of God. Amen. So, with joy, we may have to ask God, help me to feel the gratitude and the joy of this morning. We sometimes have to seek for God to help us in our emotions. And I'm not saying that he's wanting us to walk by emotions. I'm not saying that, but I think there's a time and a place in our spiritual walk that we need to feel something. I know what the scripture says. You know what the scripture says. We don't walk by our sight, and we don't walk by our feelings, and we walk by faith. But by faith this morning, we can feel something that should make us feel joy. I believe we can rejoice this morning, and we can count this a victorious event, and that it is still being repeated. You know, when we have an ordinance service and Jesus commanded it to be so, he did it with his disciples. He washed their feet. He broke the bread. He gave the wine. And he said, as often as you do this, do it to remember me. And so I'm thankful that we have a day like this to just remember and to ask the Lord, put that emotion in me that I can show and feel my gratitude. I know when I have in the past, just about every camp meeting I've gone to, Monarch, Guthrie, wherever. I begin praying a few weeks before, and you know what I pray for? Lord, help me to put my whole heart into this. We have so much to distract us, and we have to ask God to help us to put our whole heart into living for Him. But we need to put our whole heart into the meetings when we go to the meetings because of the distractions that can take our minds when the word of the Lord is going forth. And it's the same this morning. We can say, Lord, help me to put my whole heart into this morning. So as I was thinking about this, and I've just given a very brief account, just very brief. I'm just sort of emphasizing the emotions that they felt, but the story is mingled in it. And you and I have heard this account more times than we can count. All of our life, we've heard it. And so I had to ask this question, is it just another presentation of an old, old story? And that's one of the reasons I called the song this morning. I love to tell the story. It's an old story. And if you and I don't be careful, I'm going to say it that way, we can get so accustomed to it, it just is another story. Everything that we do, everything that we read, even in the scripture, it can just become commonplace. And we got to be careful. We've got to watch and pray and guard our hearts that we not fall into a place of just, it's just another Easter Sunday. It's just another story. And I've heard it. I've read it. Someone, well, I'm going to tell you who. I was talking with Sister Jeannie Eck. And the Lord has given her a great blessing. And she had a particular dream about Herschel. And she was sitting on the sofa with him, and she had received a very special offering to help her on some projects they've got to do. And so she's in her dream, she is showing him the offering and the beautiful card that came with it. And then she reaches over and she kisses the side of his face, and she said, Aunt Maxine, I actually felt his whiskers. And she said, and then he turned his face to me and kissed me on my lips. And she said, it was so real. And the Lord just blessed her so greatly. And she gets up early to, you know, be with, well, specifically Jason before he goes to work. And she has prayer with him and reads. And she said, Aunt Maxine, she said, I chose the 23rd Psalms and we've just read the scripture to death. Do you know what that means? That means you could almost not even be affected by what the words say. But she said that morning the Lord just enlarged it and just multiplied it, and it was so inspired. And that's what the Word, what God wants to do with everything for you and me. It's not a human emotion that we're looking for. It's looking for that inspiration of the Spirit of God to make it alive. Just as alive as Christ is today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, He is not dead. He's not in the tomb. He is alive. And God's Word is that way too. And you may not read it and just weep over it all the time, but there's going to come times that we will shed tears because it's just ministering to us. And did you know they say that the 23rd Psalms is the most read scripture in the Bible? So maybe it does fall under that of reading the scripture to death. But I think that we can do it with the Resurrection Sunday. It can just be, well, we've done it. How old are you? 78. Well, for 78 years, or maybe I don't remember the first few years, but from a child, this has been part of my life, and I know it could be, you could say the same, so we don't want to grow accustomed to it. And it is only by the Spirit of the Lord that we can be made alive in this event. And we can find and experience even the deeper meaning of today. And I was thinking of how I said that the disciples were directly affected. They were directly affected because they walked with him and they lived with him, and they it was a relationship that affected them, and it made them look for and expect greater things than what happened when he died. But you know what? You and I are directly affected by this too. Or maybe we could say we're indirectly affected because they were physically with him. We're not physically with him. And the little verse of Josie this morning demonstrated that. Though I can't see him. And we think about Thomas. When Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see and feel. And Jesus walks in and he says, Thomas, come here and put your fingers right there where the nail went through my hand, and feel of my side. I get chills. It's an emotion. Because Thomas is with him after the fact. He's risen from the grave and he's alive. And he's showing his flesh and he says, oh, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, speaking of us, he said, blessed are those that don't see and yet they believe. We're blessed. And so we're directly or indirectly, whichever way you think, affected by today. Yes. Because we're one of those that have never seen, and yet we believe. And so through faith, we're not relying on our feelings and emotions altogether, but oh, that God would give us some emotions of gratitude, of thanksgiving, of knowing where I would be if he had failed. We have much to thank God for. So even though we've heard it and read it over and over and over, we can still be grateful. Now I want to talk to you about some songs that came to my mind. I'm just going to read a verse or two. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. This is victory in Jesus, and that's what we have today. If it had gone any other way, we could not say it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. I want to tell you something. The only way that you can say you're saved today is because the Spirit of the Lord drew you. We have something to do with the response to that drawing, but I want to tell you, if the Spirit had not drawn us, you would not be where you are today. So He sought me and He bought me. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. That's one song. I have another song, and it's Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Seek after it to be written in your heart, and that you will. I don't want any of us to be so emotional that we depend on emotions.
Yes.
Amen.
But I believe there's a place for an emotion this morning, that we can be joyful. So He says, write it on my heart every word. Tell me the story, most precious. If we can get so complacent that we won't count it as a precious story. Sweetest, this is the sweetest story I've ever heard. The writer of these songs had to feel something in order to write these words. And then it goes on down, and I'm just giving you one verse. Concerning today, tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. There's no way that we can really comprehend the suffering that Jesus went through. It's it's only through human words like this that it can awaken something in our mind. It says, tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. Love is that story so tender, clear than ever I see. Stay, let me weep. Let me have an emotion while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Yeah. So in both of these songs, I want to give you the phrases that stood out to me. He loved me ere I knew Him. We all know what the Scripture says. He loved us before we ever loved Him. He won us by His love. So what is the fundamental element of today, of this Resurrection Sunday? It's love. And sometimes we have a tendency to forget about the love. The other phrases, love in that story so tender. Oh, let us picture the love of God in the resurrection. Love paid the ransom for me. Oh, God is love. Oh, you know, we sing Jesus Loves Me about every Sunday. Do we get tired of it? Or is it just another song and it's just... Let's not forget that He loved us. Let's not forget that God so loved the whole world. That He gave. He gave His only Son, His only begotten Son. He didn't hold Him back. He had a plan, and Jesus was willing to go through it. And so we sometimes have to meditate to get a glimpse of the love of God, or the sacrificial love. And I think that the Lord puts it in His word in places to sort of grab our attention. And it was the same when He asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his promised son. And he had such love for him. And you have to read between the lines because it's just so matter of fact. He took him, and when he said, "Well, Father, here's the wood and the fire, and where is the sacrifice?" "God will provide," he said. And I don't know what discourse went on between them, but I'm sure that when it came right down to it, I don't think Isaac ran away. I don't think he fought back. I think he understood what his father was doing to prove his love and his devotion to his heavenly father. And he willingly, I believe Isaac willingly gave himself for that particular sacrifice. So you read between the lines and you say, now God also loved his son. He was his only son. And then we go to the scripture and it says, I have to say, God looked away because Jesus felt so forsaken. "Oh, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" And it was because he loved. He loved his son. So, a wonderful account of Abraham and Isaac. He went so far as to raise the knife. And a voice from heaven, "Abraham, I know now that you love me." And he provided a sacrifice and spared his son. But when it came to Jesus, he was not spared. He went all of the way to the cross. And he did it for you and for me. So God so loved that he gave. Jesus loved too, and he gave. Did you know that Jesus took your place, took my place, that you and I deserved death, but he took our place? 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." You and I were in that category. We were among the unjust, but he was just. He had no sin, but he did it. He gave. Just as God gave, Jesus gave. He loved you and me so much that he gave his life. Now, are you emotional about that? Probably not. But you can ask the Lord to help you to see the great value, the value that he placed on every soul, your soul. Make it personal. I'm going to end now with a story. Really left an impression on me. It's in one of the books that we borrowed, Sarah and I have been reading. And it's a story about identical twin brothers. These brothers grew up doing everything together. They played together, they studied, they slept, they went to school together, and they went to church together. And the twins grew to be strong young men. And something happened to one twin. When he came to that place of understanding, he knew he was lost. He repented and he made God his Savior, his choice. The other twin chose to not repent. He lived his life as he wanted. A chasm opened between the brothers. They no longer did spend time together. They did not go to church together. The one that chose his own way went to parties and associated with a gang of boys. And eventually the gang followed a life of crime and they were caught and put in jail. So the one twin is now in jail. And the parents and the one twin brother went to try to visit him in the jail, and they were turned away. But this first twin did not give up. He hung around the prison. He begged the guard to let him see his brother for just 5 minutes. It was finally granted, but only for 5 minutes. 5 minutes later, the twin came out and went home to his parents. He went to bed but could not sleep. He was heavy-hearted and began to weep, and he cried bitterly. And his parents came to his room, but this was the wrong twin. The son, sobbing, told the story. His twin brother came into the jail and told him to quickly exchange clothes and then leave. I have an emotion right now. They changed places. And the brother said, "My brother loved me so much, he took my place." And he wept bitterly. They tried to go to the authorities and they wouldn't believe it. So the innocent brother was tried and condemned to prison. And the guilty twin wept bitterly that his brother took his place. Cried out to God, and he also repented of his sins. But his brother loved him so much, he took his place. Isn't that a story that sort of opens up to us what Jesus did for us? We deserved to have been in prison. We deserved to receive the sentence. But he let us escape. Jesus did this for us. Closing scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:4. "For though he was crucified through weakness, he allowed it to happen." Yes. He was strong enough to stop it, but he allowed it in human. He allowed it to happen. "Yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him." We're weak. How are we weak? We cannot save ourselves. We can't live good enough to save ourselves. We cannot earn heaven. We cannot, we can't even deserve heaven. That's why we're weak. "We also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God." Isn't that a scripture? Thank the Lord this morning that Jesus did not fail, that he went all the way to the cross. It didn't end in the manger, but it ended when he was resurrected. And he gives you and me the power to have eternal life through him. And there's coming a day that if we are in a grave, we will resurrect. You know what the emotion can be this morning? It can be for ourselves, but it needs to also reach out to others, that they too will be able to find this true salvation. We mustn't ever just hold our experience to ourselves. Oh, I don't know whether to tell this. I know the enemy is an accuser, and I believe he was an accuser in this, but yesterday Sarah said, "Mother, have you ever thought about inviting your neighbors to the revival?" And I said, "Well, no, I haven't. For one thing, I thought, well, the church is too far. They probably wouldn't want to drive that far." And I began examining my heart. Would I be ashamed? And I battled that for a little while. And I believe the enemy was trying to accuse me because I haven't been ashamed to live among my neighbors. They know how I dress. And my neighbor across the street, as I told Wednesday night, he lets the other neighbors know some things about me. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. So this afternoon, I think Sarah and maybe Levi may go around and hand out flyers down our street. You know what? I would not want to come to the judgment and have somebody said, "You never invited me." Let us also be concerned for those around us and carry a burden for our loved ones. I know Paul and Lorinda are carrying a burden for his father. Consequently, we pray for his father too. Let us always consider the high price that was paid for everyone. Pray for me.